WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'm wearing my El Guapo shirt. I have moved to the county, although I'm not in Catonsville. I'm a little closer to Towson, but nonetheless, we did spend some time out in Frederick Road. Had a delicious meal at the Beaumont last week. Actually went to State Fair and had some chicken and waffles over the weekend. And they have bottomless crush, Luke. My wife was driving. It was a game day. $15 bottomless crush. I'm still looking to reach the bottom at this point. But Luke Jones joins us now. He is, of course, our Ravens reporter that doesn't get to ask questions too much anymore. And we don't really have press conferences anymore. And we fired defensive coordinators at 6 o'clock on Friday on divisional weekend around here. At least the football was good, though, right? At least the football was good this weekend. We'll be talking about this for the next 6 days or so until we get the championship games. But I think with the internet and instant classics and everybody tweeting and the young guns quarterbacks now with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and all of that, the weekend was kind of cool and kind of special and kind of different. Obviously for me, we moved for the first time in 19 years. So I'm in a different space with different internet, watching on my wife's iPad, which I do not recommend. Get your cable TV plugged in. This is my free plug for cable. Yeah, cable. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. But nonetheless, great games and something that the league and I think people that are sports fans living through the plague sort of needed some drama on a 20 degree weekend, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think especially on the heels of, let's face it, not a very good wild card weekend. I mean, that was an underwhelming slate of games as much as we got the super wild card weekend. You know, I mean, just did not have very competitive games. I mean, even the games that were competitive, you know, like Bengals Raiders, still don't know if it was a great game. So this weekend more than made up for that. I mean, you just said it. In this era of social media, we do tend to really fall victim to recency bias and being the prisoner of the moment. But this was as good of a divisional round as you'll find.
We also watched the games together, right? Which is there. Like, I've been watching football my whole life. So if you were to ask me great weekends, I remember with Sid coming over in my bedroom on Kane Street and watching the Oilers fall apart. I had a big screen TV in my bedroom. So we're sitting there. He showed up. It was 35-3. And then the game changed. I remember those kind of weekends and then all the games that we've been through, the Cundiff misses, the Stover hits, all of these January 3-point game, field goal, tie, overtime, Lee Evans. Those are just our memories, right? Or what could have, should have happened with Todd Heap back in 2006 on a divisional weekend. We remember these games and they get replayed. But this weekend, particularly in these four games, they sort of stacked up in a way that probably will never be topped when you consider what happened in the late game. Because they were great until Sunday, all the way through. And then the last game was better than all of them. And they were all really good.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you had three games that came down to a game-winning field goal in the final seconds, road team winning. And then you just had an absolute masterpiece. I mean, I already saw some people, and look, I'm 38. I don't remember Kellen Winslow against the Dolphins, but so many people talk about that game as being one of the absolute best. And so many people that whose opinions I respect were drawing comparisons saying that this might have been as good as that, or might have been better. Buffalo, Kansas City was just absolutely fantastic. We haven't even mentioned Tom Brady coming back from a 27-3 deficit and then the Rams punching back. I mean, and clearly, we were talking about cover zero and Wink Martindale and late game calls. Boy, talk about being second guess there if you're the Tampa Bay defense. Letting Cooper Kupp get that open. Are you serious?
By the way, I want to tell a little personal story because, I've lived in a building for 19 years and there's a young guy that's worked in the building from the city and he loves football and he's been my doorman and weekend door guy. His name's Antoine. He's been my dude for maybe 7 or 8 years. So most people in my building were there all 20 years we were there. Same people, Kenya, Al, people we know and we've lived with for all these years. But this young guy came in and he loved Tom Brady. And he probably came into my life right around the time we were winning Super Bowls. So 11, 12, 13, when we were playing the Patriots in January. And here's this kid from Baltimore wearing a Patriot. He always had the little ball on the top, like my old Colts hat back in the 70s. And he's a doorman. So he's like always out in the cold in the winter. Mm-hmm. And he loves Tom Brady. 2 years ago, he said he was thinking about going up for a playoff game and he never went. So obviously Tom Brady becomes a Buck last year. he's a Buccaneers fan. He's a Tom Brady fan, right? So he says to my wife and I, as we're leaving, like we're literally packing the truck. Thank you, Von Paris, John and everybody did a great job. And he said, hey, man, I'm going to Tampa for the game this weekend. I don't think Antoine's ever been to an NFL game. Like I don't know of him going to a game. Maybe he has. And he's probably 30 years old now. He was a young person when I met him. He's probably 20 years old when I met him. So he said to me, I'm going to the game. I got a cheap flight. I'm flying down. I want to see Tom Brady play. And I'm like, well, that's pretty freaking cool. You know,
that's awesome. Doing
that the day we leave. So I never had his number because he lives in my building. He gives me his number. And on Saturday, he said, I'm flying down Sunday morning. Send me to someplace good, you know, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, it's Tampa. You're going to the game. Go out on the Dale Mabry. If you win, you'll be fine. And I'm thinking to myself, we thought about him all day because we were texting with him and we're like, because he flew alone. He got in a car alone. He went to the airport, never been to Tampa, never been to Florida. I don't know how many airplanes he's been on. Literally, I haven't gotten into that. But this was a really unique thing. He flew down and was a part of that football game. And all I'm watching, I'm like, oh my God, it kind of reminds me of when I woke up at 6 a.m. and flew to Cleveland with Phil Jackman. And we went to church and then we walked down to the stadium and the drive broke out. Like I went to the drive game. It was a play. It was the first time I'd ever been to Ohio. One of the few times I'd ever flown. It was 1987. I was young. I was 19 years old. And I'm thinking, what a great experience to fly to Tampa and see that football game on that weekend. If you've loved Tom Brady your whole life and had never seen him play.
Yeah, no question.
And he probably saw Tom Brady's last game too, which is maybe even more, right?
Well, I don't know. Probably. I'm not buying him retiring. We'll see. I mean, my goodness, man, we've been how many years you and I, whether it's talking at a Super Bowl, another Super Bowl where the Patriots and Tom Brady were there, or just over the course of the regular season. I mean, we've been having this conversation or some version of it for 7 or 8 years now. I mean, the guy's 44 years old. You start talking about quarterbacks that are 37, 38, you're talking about them in a context of how much longer are they going to play. So,
and how is it that we're sitting there watching the game and they're like, well, you know, Brady's 44 talking about not coming back. I mean, who was calling the game? Nance, right? No, it wasn't Nance. Whoever was calling the game.
It was Al Michaels. Al Michaels and Collinsworth.
Michaels was selling it. Whoever was calling the game was selling it, you know, like, oh, Brady, things are, people are talking. And of course, Al's not on Twitter. He's 85 years old. And I'm thinking to myself, why here? Why now? I mean, Giselle looked really happy. The kids looked like they were having a good time up in the booth when they were winning. And I'm thinking he's 44 years old. Nobody's ever done this. If the day I met you back in 2008, you tried out for the little contest. If I would have told you 14 years later, you're going to be covering the Ravens and Tom Brady's still going to be quarterbacking late January games that he deserved to win. This will never, ever. It's such an outlier. It's Halley's Comet, dude. Like no one's ever going to do this. Look at Roethlisberger. Look at Peyton Manning. Look at the other contemporary. Do you think Lamar's going to be running around at 44? Lamar's going to be in a wheelchair at 44 if he plays like this for 18. There's no way he could play like that. And I tip my cap. I mean, I'm a Brady lover. I'm a Brady hater. I'm a Brady respecter. I'm all of that. But where he is at this point, whatever clear that he's getting, whatever Balco thing he's got, because he's clearly doing something. I mean, it's not human to me. And you scoff, but I watched those bastards hit home runs 20 years ago and had them all tell me, oh, it's Andrew Steen. I don't buy any of this that Brady's doing this legally or on the up and up or with guacamole ice cream or avocado ice. I don't believe that. So if that makes me the AM radio skeptic, then have at it. But he's doing something that's not normal. No, he's doing something that's not normal.
I mean, I think one of my favorite factoids that I know that I threw out there a couple of years ago was, think about this. Ed Reed entered the league 2 years after Tom Brady, had a Hall of Fame career, waited 5 years to be in Canton, and his bust has now collected some dust in Canton. He's been there a couple years now, and Tom Brady's still doing this. It's extraordinary. I mean, think about it. Joe Flacco came along 8 years after Tom Brady was drafted by the Patriots, and Joe's been gone for a few years now and you know, had a nice, you know, won a Super Bowl, had a 10-year run in Baltimore. I mean, it's just, it's extraordinary what he's done. And if Sunday were to be it for him, the fact that It was a 27-3. He come look. I mean, that was looking like that was going to be a Rams all-time kind of choke job. I mean, you know, Matt Ryan and the Falcons were looking at that and saying, "Oh, that's bad." I mean, that's how bad it was. But if that's it, and it's kind of one of those deals where he had one last push in him, one last comeback, one last scare, almost like that the horror movie, right, where the monster comes back for that one last scare in the final minute of the movie. Then that felt fitting, but. I mean, you had everything. I mean, you had Tom Brady. I mean, Aaron Rodgers on Saturday night. Who knows what's going to happen with him with the Packers? But now you have these young guns. You know, you have Joe Burrow doing what he did on Saturday, although give the Bengals defense a lot of credit. But, you know, got this new kid. And, you know, we've had Mahomes, who's not feels like he's been around forever, but he's not that old. And Josh Allen doing what he did. I mean, as much as we talk about Brady, or Rodgers, or, you know, Peyton Manning's in the rearview mirror now, Ben Roethlisberger's retiring. You know, you think of that early 2000s, you know, guys that really over the last 10, 15 years, you know, Rodgers a little bit after the other guys I mentioned, but you have this new wave now coming. And, you know, Lamar Jackson's part of that. Justin Herbert, I think, is going to be part of that in the AFC. But you have these young quarterbacks just doing really cool things. And that's what's neat about the league. I mean, I can recall growing up watching in the 90s. I mean, you know, Joe Montana and Steve Young and Troy Aikman and Brett Favre, and go down the list of guys.
Mention Dan Marino, even though he didn't win. Yeah, you can't. Yeah,
oh, absolutely. Hey, well, no, I'm going to mention Dan Marino because this brings it back to Brady. What Brady's done is so abnormal in the amount of winning he's done. And look, you have to credit the Patriots for this as well. It's a team sport. But I've grown to appreciate Dan Marino more. Because I feel as you watch this longer and longer, it's really, really difficult to win a Super Bowl. And yet Tom Brady's done it 7 times. And he's been to...
And Aaron Rodgers stinks. He's only done it once.
Right. Exactly. I mean, a guy... It really... Look, quarterback is the most important position by far. It's not even close. But there's still so many other variables, so many other players on the field. Your special teams, while they're not as important as your offense and defense, Green Bay, and we talked about this when the Ravens played them, their special teams stunk all year. And I may have even said it when we were breaking down that game, that you wonder, their special teams are so bad, is that going to cost them in January at some point? Sure enough, it did. I mean, they get a punt blocked, and I mean, just absolutely wild for the 49ers to win in the manner in which they did. But to bring it back to what I was talking about, I can remember all those quarterbacks in the 90s when they started retiring and going away. And you're thinking, wow, I mean, an NFL without Steve Young, an NFL without Troy Aikman, an NFL without Dan Marino, and go down the list. And then Peyton Manning comes along and Tom Brady comes along and Roethlisberger a couple years after that. And I mean, you go down the list. Aaron Rodgers a few years after that.
There were the Tim Couches and the guys that were supposed to make it.
Well, yeah,
they don't make it. You know what I mean? The Ryan Leafs and the guys that go by, the Kyle Bowlers that go by the wayside.
Right. And I mean, every era has that. I mean, there's no question. I mean, Jeff George was at one point in time going to be, you know, the next John Elway, right?
Well, at least he played. Joey Harrington didn't.
Oh, sure.
Some of these guys, Kyle Bowler played for a minute here, but some of these guys never really played, never really got on the field to be worth anything like a first round draft pick. And then there's Tom Brady, who everybody passed over 6 times. Nobody wanted. That's really the amazing the thing to me, that Terrell Davis, Antonio Brown, that sort of, it's easy to pick Ed Reed in the first round and say he's going to the Hall of Fame. It's a whole different thing when guys are 5th and 6th and 7th rounds where they've been passed over, especially the quarterback. That's what makes Kurt Warner. When Kurt Warner was winning those Super Bowls, and I know there's conjecture about his candidacy in Canton and all that stuff, he's the greatest story there's ever been to me until Brady's come along, because he and Brady were not all that far apart in how they were perceived. When you're a 6th or 7th round draft pick, you're Wes Pate. You know, you're one of those you're just a guy. You're John Beck. You're just a name, right?
Yeah. I mean, Brady at Michigan, they were trying to replace him at Michigan. Well, it was Drew Henson, right? At that point, I think that was Drew Henson at that point. Gosh, it's been 20 years. Hard to remember exactly all the details, but
I was going
to
say, Rick, it is, but that was a little earlier for me. Yes.
Yeah. But it is amazing though. Like all these quarterbacks that I mentioned from the 90s, and then you get into the early 2000s and you have Steve McNair and Michael Vick. And I mean, go down the list of all these different guys, and guys move
didn't
on.
Win, by the way, didn't win. McNair came
sure.
this close, but oh, when you so don't close. Win, you don't win.
But these guys all move on eventually. And you're always wondering, you know, who's going to pick up, who's going to carry the mantle? Who's going to be that next guy? Who's going to, who are they going to pass the baton to? And now you see, you have Patrick Mahomes and I mean, Josh Allen. And I mean, Lamar Jackson was a unanimous MVP 2 years ago. You know, let's not write Lamar off. You know, no one. And you have Herbert and you have Joe Burrow now, who, I mean, the Bengals hadn't won a playoff game in 30 years and now they've won two back-to-back weeks. And they're, you know, they're a win away from going to the Super Bowl. Think how crazy that sounds. I mean, that's something that the Bengals have been a punchline since I was 5 years old. You know, that's just where it, you know, they were in the Super Bowl in 88. And since then, nothing, you know, what, one playoff win after.
Poor Buffalo Bills fans while you're at it, you know,
can we
cry for them for a minute? Just a little piece that for me, especially these games this weekend, the losers all deserve to win. Right. So all the teams that went home, all the home teams go home. Everybody's feelings are, my boy Antoine's on a flight back from Tampa. Didn't even get a tan. It was 65 degrees there. But those teams, this is the toughest week for them because they all talk about the Ravens losing six games in a row and firing Wink and blah, blah, blah. Imagine losing, like, this is Billy Cundiff times four over the weekend. They all grasp defeat out of the jaws of victory on their own turf, literally.
Well, you have that or where the Ravens were 2 years ago, where you won 12 games in a row. You look completely invincible. I mean, you and I planning to go to the Super Bowl, like the expectation, like everything about that. And then it's just over. The finality of it is just so quick. And especially in these games where it's a dramatic, quick ending, you know, a quick death, so to speak, in terms of football. But yeah, I mean, Buffalo. At the same time, and so many people are going to focus on the overtime rule. And look, my big thing is, if you want to change it, what are we going to do? What are we going to change it to? And what makes sense? However, I'll still go back. They took the lead with 13 seconds to go. 13 seconds, not 30 seconds, not 45, not a minute, 13 seconds to go. And for whatever reason, they kicked it into the end zone. And I get it. You're not going to kick to, you know, one of their speedsters, you know, whether it's Hill or Hardman or whoever they put back there in that scenario. But
if you believe in your special teams at all, making a tackle, you kick the ball.
Well, and it's not even so much that. I mean, you squib it, you do a short kick, you do one of the pop-up kicks to the 5-yard line.
Whatever you do to make the clock work.
Right, exactly. Even if he returns it to the 35, you knock 6-7 seconds off the clock, and they're at a point where they have one play left, maybe. And they didn't do that, though. So, look, if you want to sell changing overtime, just because I tweeted it, I want to see these teams keep playing. I mean, I saw people making the joke that let's just cancel the rest of the playoffs and just have Bills Chiefs best of seven. Like it's a World Series. I mean, I'd be all for that because that was fantastic. But, you know, how do you do it? I don't think it's as simple as just giving the other team a possession because, okay, Kansas City scores, Buffalo goes down and scores, and then it's sudden death. Oh, well, Kansas City got two possessions and Buffalo only got one. At some point in time, there has to be a concession that it's not going to be completely fair. I don't know what it is. Do you play a 10-minute overtime quarter and you just play 10 minutes and the end of it's the end of it? I don't know. I don't know if we'll see enough traction. I mean, this happened to Kansas City a few years back against the Patriots, but
well, they all get together at the end of the year and they make a rule, and this is the rule they all agreed to.
Right. Well, I mean, the Kansas City proposed this because they were on the wrong end of this 3 years ago against the Patriots, if you remember, and there wasn't much movement for it. Will there be this time? I don't know. But let's not let that argument take away from what was an all-time awesome playoff game. And this is one of those that, and who knows, the Bengals have something to say about this or whoever represents the NFC, but I always go back to Ravens Titans in 2000. I think that postseason, that divisional round game, that was a Super Bowl. I think any Ravens fan thought that at the time. I think Titans fans thought that at the time. And it proved to be the most competitive game the Ravens played in that postseason run. But this felt like the Super Bowl on Sunday night. And boy, these conference championship games and the real Super Bowl, we're going to have a lot to live up to try to approach what we saw late Sunday night. Cause that was just, it was amazing. It was easily, I don't know if it's the best, that I've seen, but boy, if it's not, it's on a really, really short list. And I think it very well could have been the best playoff football game I've ever seen. I mean, it was brilliant, absolute brilliance on both sides.
Luke Jones is here. He is at Baltimore. Luke, you can find him out on Twitter and Facebook and all things social. You can find me, Nasty, at WNST.net. We're around all week getting ready. I think I'm going to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. I have a flight. I think I'll be there. I think Luke's staying back. We don't know whether we're wearing masks. I'll get to all that through the week. I do know we're alive and well, and we got AFC and NFC championship games this week, and we are in search of a new defensive coordinator. I'm Nestor. The wise conversations continue here. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.